So I initially started writing romance, and my first book was a romantic suspense called Hot Shade. It has since been retitled, but I got a publisher and got an agent for that initial book.
Uh-huh.
And it was a pretty, you know, it was a slightly gritty romantic suspense. And it had a fair bit of gore and swearing and sex. So I should have probably taken my best friend's advice and written crime fiction from that point on.
Hey, readers and writers. Welcome to episode 125 of Read and Write. Today, my guest is Tara Lush, and today we're talking about cozy mysteries. Tara is the author of the Coffee Lovers Mystery Series and her most recent novel, Cold Brew Corpse. Tara is the author of the Coffee Lovers Mystery Series and her most recent novel, Cold Brew Corpse, is coming out next month. You can find her on Twitter at Tamara Lush or on Instagram at author Tara Lush. Hey, Tara.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on. So tell me about the Coffee Lovers Mystery Series. What's it about?
The Coffee Lovers Mystery Series is my debut cozy mystery series, and it's based on a fictional Florida island and an amateur sleuth who was a journalist who returns to her hometown of Devil's Beach, Florida, to run her family's coffee shop called Purgatory.
I think that's an awesome name.
Thank you.
I laugh every time I hear it.
And readers really love it. And so she returns to run this coffee shop. And in the meantime, she uses her journalism skills to sleuth and solve homicides. In the process, she falls for the very handsome police chief, a Cuban-American named Noah Garcia.
Okay, so is this like an official, like kind of Keys area, or is it like off the coast of Florida in another area?
I would say in my mind, it's very similar to Sanibel Island. And for the listeners who don't know Sanibel Island, it's an island off of the coast of Southwest Florida in the Gulf of Mexico. It could be, it's sort of loosely based on Sanibel, and it's also loosely based on some of the beach communities near where I live in St. Petersburg, Florida. So there are often a lot of sort of very laid back, touristy, very beautiful beach communities, whether they're barrier islands or actual islands like Sanibel.
Okay. So explain cozy mystery to me. I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to mysteries.
Well, cozy mystery is a subgenre of the larger mystery genre, and it differs from hard-boiled mysteries, police procedurals, noir. When you think of a police procedural, you think CSI or Law and Order.
Right.
And when you think noir, you think Raymond Chandler. When you think, cozy mysteries are more of like a traditional mystery, similar to Agatha Christie, Hallmark mysteries, like you would see Hallmark mysteries on TV. Those are cozy mysteries. And there are a few genre hallmarks, if I may use that word. There are a few genre conventions, and those would be no gore. So you're not going to see, brain and blood splatter on the page described in great detail. There's no swearing. There's often, most usually, there is an amateur sleuth. It's usually a woman, although not always. There's no on-page sex. And there's no swearing. So it's a very, I like to say it's gentle murder. When you think of things like Murder, She Wrote, that's a good example of a cozy mystery TV show. When you think of a lot of those British crime series, the very gentle ones like Midsummer Murders, I think is one of them. There's also a pretty popular one set in the Caribbean called Death in Paradise. That's also a pretty good example of cozy mystery. It's a more of a gentle puzzle, and people and regular people and sleuth and try to figure it out. And another, I would say one other really important part of a cozy mystery is the setting. And people really love the world building that cozy mystery authors create, in that it's usually a small community, or if it's not a small community, it's a close-knit community in a big city. And people get to know the characters in that community. And so my community of Devil's Beach, there are quirky people who live in the community and quirky things about the community. And that's pretty easy to write, given that it's set in Florida because everything is pretty quirky here.
This sounds like the perfect Christmas gift for my mother. She loves this type of book. And Mom, I know you listen to this. Please, please don't buy her books. I'm going to buy them for you. I've already got your Christmas gift planned.
Thank you.
No, Sheila, I have to confess, I'm not a big mystery fan. It's just, some people gravitate to different genres. It's just not the genre I gravitate towards. So I'm probably going to ask you a lot of stupid questions.
Sure. No question is stupid. Absolutely not.
But my mom and my grandma are gaga over them. They love mysteries.
Nice.
So, and this, like everything you mentioned is everything that I know my mom likes. So yes. I 100% guarantee that she's going to like these books.
Yes. In fact, I think that, you know, traditionally cozy mysteries, the readership has been older, and obviously women. And I think that now cozy mysteries are branching out to more millennial and younger people, millennial and younger women.
I know plenty of people who read mysteries, just not me personally.
Yep.
Okay. So how did you get started in the cozy mystery genre? Like what led you to it? Did you always want to write one or did like a life events lead you to it?
Well, there, two things led me to it. And one was my career, I have been a journalist. I only recently stopped being a journalist. I was a journalist for 30 years, many of them with the Associated Press. So I've covered a lot of the largest crime stories in Florida over the last 12 years. And then prior to that, I was a newspaper reporter here in Florida.
Okay.
So I've covered a lot of crime.
Sounds very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I've covered a lot of really horrible crime.
That sounds exciting.
Witnessed executions and really, truly, truly horrible crime. So I'm very familiar. When I first started writing fiction 7 years ago, my very best friend said, oh, well, you're going to be writing crime fiction, right? Like she assumed I would write a police procedural or something noir or something completely crazy. And I was like, nah, you know what? I'm going to write romance because I actually really love romance, and romance and mystery are the two things that I read. So I initially started writing romance, and my first book was a romantic suspense called Hot Shade. It has since been retitled, but I got a publisher and got an agent for that initial book. And it was a pretty, you know, it was a slightly gritty romantic suspense, and it had a fair bit of gore and swearing and sex. So I should have probably taken my best friend's advice and written crime fiction from that point on. And the fact that I had written a romantic suspense is my first romance, but I did not. I ended up writing contemporary romance and erotic romance. And I was a Rita finalist in erotic romance.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I've written a lot of romance. I've written, I think, 15 romances.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So under my real
name. Seriously, congratulations.
Thank you.
Like 15 books. Oh my God.
Yeah. Under my real name, Tamara Lush, I've written a lot of romances and I indie published. And then I wrote a series set on a Florida island with quirky characters. And it was a contemporary romance. It was about a family who owned a resort and everybody got a happy ever after. And it was pretty quirky and it didn't get the reception that I had hoped for when I released it back in 2019. And I was thinking, you know, what do I want to write next? And I really loved this world that I created. And I started thinking about the whole crime fiction thing. And I thought, I'm going to try to write a cozy mystery with a lot of the same quirkiness and sense of place that I had put in Paradise Beach stories. And I did. And I was very fortunate to get a good publisher right off the bat. I had an agent and I was very fortunate to be picked up by Crooked Lane Books in a 2-book deal. And it just took off from there. So actually right now I'm actually writing both things. I'm actually writing romance and cozy mystery. I'm working on the third book in the Coffee Lovers mystery as we speak. I'm literally writing it. I try to write it every day because it's due very soon. And I'm also writing romance. I have a very unique situation in romance in that I put all of my books on Wattpad. Are you familiar with Wattpad?
Yes.
So I put all of my books on Wattpad. I'm in the Wattpad paid program, and that turned out to be quite a lucrative thing for me. And two of my books have been optioned by a European TV production company.
Ooh, that's always exciting.
It's really exciting. And Wattpad is going to have some other opportunities soon where I'll be able to write for money. So I really believe in Wattpad. I actually think it's the future. And I think serial fiction apps and serial fiction sites and story sharing sites are the future. And I'm happy to be sort of doing something outside of the Amazon ecosystem in terms of romance.
Okay.
So I, that's what I do. I write for Wattpad and I write cozy mysteries. And that is now my full-time job because I left journalism.
That's amazing that you've made writing your full-time job. Like I'm amazed when I talk to people, I'm just like, how do you do that? Like, it's just like, congratulations. Like, I just
Thank
like
want
to throw everybody a party. Like, you did it.
You know, it was a lot of sacrifice. A lot of decisions for many years went into it. So
okay.
It took a long time. It did not happen overnight. And by no means am I making the kind of money that some people make. And that's okay. I don't need to. I'm very privileged in that sense. So, So it's been great. I've been out of journalism for 7 months now, and it is a whole new life.
Do you miss journalism at all, or are you just very happy doing what you're doing now?
Well, I left journalism because I couldn't mentally handle journalism anymore. I was doing it at a very high national level at the Associated Press, and I was covering the pandemic and some politics and lots of other things, and I couldn't take it anymore. Like, I just couldn't.
So this is better for you.
It's far better. I've lost weight. I'm now vegan. I exercise every day. I have a much more balanced and healthy life. That is the other thing is with mysteries, because I've had traditional contracts, I don't have to, and with Wattpad as well, I don't feel like, I know that some indie authors write a lot, and I know that people put out a book every other month or a book every month. And
Oh my God, where do they find the time?
I don't know. Well, if they're full-time writers, they just write, they have large word count days. And I try not to compare myself, and I try not to think that I need to bite off more than I can chew, frankly, because life is short and it's to be enjoyed. And that's what leaving journalism has taught me.
I was going to ask this question later, but now I have to ask it now. How do you write? Like, what's your writing routine? Like, how many words do you try to do in a day? How many hours?
It just sort of depends what I'm working on. Like, right now, I'm working on this third cozy mystery book. So I'm trying to get 2,000 words a day. Like, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Like, at the very least, I try to get 1,000 words. That's completely doable for me. Sometimes I try to get 2,000. I usually try to write until I am feeling good about a scene, and then I stop writing kind of in the middle of that scene. So I'm excited to write.
You can pick back up and
I also have a part-time gig copy editing. So some fiction.
Okay.
So I do a little bit of copy editing on the side.
Okay. Like a brain cleanse.
Yeah. It's not in either genre that I write. Actually, so that it doesn't have anything to do with where I write. So that's nice.
Okay.
Just a little extra money, which is nice. I occasionally will do author interviews for a local newspaper as well. So I haven't completely 100% gotten out of journalism. And I've had some offers to freelance. I had this great offer to go cover hurricanes for the Weather Channel for freelance, but I was like, I can't get sidetracked. So I just wake up and I do my exercise and I eat breakfast and play with the dogs. And then I usually just write. I'll probably write some tonight. I'm kind of in the last like 80% of my book. So
So things are moving fast.
Yeah. So I'm feeling anxious about getting that first draft done.
Not that the book is moving fast, but like the plot is starting to like steamroll and you get excited to finish it off.
Yes, exactly.
So running back to cozy mysteries, like, would you consider that a mystery first or a romance first? Like, how do you view it as the writer?
I view
it as... Or is it, like, equal parts?
No, I would say that my mysteries probably have a little more romance, a little more of a romance subplot than some. Although a lot of cozy mysteries do have a romance subplot, I would say that mine is a little heavier on the romance simply because I am a romance writer first, and I do like that element of it. in a perfect world, I would write a cozy mystery, but with open door sex. Like, there's a bunch of us on Twitter who keep joking that we're going to write erotic cozy mysteries. And I would love to do that, but I'm not sure. It's interesting because my romance readers will read my cozies, but the cozy readers generally
won't jump the other way.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. They're just not interested in steamy scenes. So, okay. There are definitely people who like heavy romance in their cozies. So mm-hmm. I would say this. So, you know how a good romance, the two main characters or the main characters who fall in love meet pretty early on in the romance and everything mm-hmm. is sort of focused around them. Even the right. B plot is sort of focused around them. I would say that in a mystery, instead of the relationship being the focus, it's the murder. And then the B plot comes after that. So that's what I try, you know, every chapter, even if there's a lot, some of the romance thread, it all comes back to the murder in every chapter.
Okay. How are you keeping track of the A plot and the B plot? Like, do you do mind mapping? Do you like traditional notes? Like, how do you keep track of those two and make sure the tensions are always rising at the correct amount?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I use a thing called Plotter, Plotter. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a wonderful software. Yeah, it's a wonderful software program. And it allows you to create timelines. And I think because in these particular stories, the heroine is a journalist at heart. And she mm-hmm. was laid off, but she looks at things like a journalist. So it's pretty easy for me to plot the murder and how it would unfold from the moment a body is found, because I've covered that as a journalist for many years. So I kind of have that rhythm of body is found, press releases are put out, press conferences are put out by the police, the family gives a statement, mm-hmm. you know, like there's a rhythm to how, you know,
right.
For the most part, like in, you know, if you, the reason, some of the reason why big stories like the missing girl Gabby, for instance, is because mm-hmm. it doesn't fit a pattern. But most crimes, you know, fit a pattern. Mm-hmm. And the rhythm of most crimes fit a pattern. So I can kind of superimpose that on my fiction.
Okay. Helpful, I guess your past job helping you out there in that
very
aspect.
Yes.
So would you consider yourself more of a plotter, like a true plotter, or are you more of on the pantser side of things?
Oh, I'm a plotter. I mean, with my mysteries, I'm definitely more of a plotter than romance. But with mysteries, mm-hmm. I try to plot out pretty much every plot point. Like maybe I don't know every conversation or every beat,
right.
but I have an idea of where things are going before I write, a pretty solid idea.
Okay.
And mysteries are very much puzzles. So you have to mm-hmm. incorporate
really
the red herrings.
Figure out the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would you say do you plot more the mystery? Like, are you more anal about plotting the mystery and then kind of winging the romance, or do you just plot out the whole thing to make it all match up?
I tend to plot out for the mysteries. I tend to plot out both sides of it. For when I write a romance, it's a little more of a discovery, because I'm about to start in a month or so, about to start writing a vampire romance on Wattpad.
Ooh,
I have not ever done a paranormal romance,
uh-huh.
and I have an idea of what I want to do, but since it's a serial novel and I'll be releasing it once or twice a week, a chapter once mm-hmm. or twice a week, some of that is discovery and some of that is just, oh, look, this is going to happen now. Like it's much
more
fun
vampire thing.
Yeah, exactly. So that I take a little more liberties with the plot. With a mystery, I think you need to have it kind of locked down mm-hmm. or it can meander. And I don't think anybody wants to read a mystery that meanders.
No, definitely not. At least when I was thinking about the question, I was thinking like, yes, I understand that mysteries probably really should be plotted out, like just, you know, A to B to C all the way down. But then I thought maybe it might work just have the, like, since romances are a lot of emotion, that would be more easy, like, to just kind of like, I want to say throw in there, but that makes it sound so arbitrary. It's not what I mean.
Yeah,
but
no, I understand.
The emotion, you could weave it around on a more free level to make it work.
Right. And that it's really interesting you mentioned the emotion, because I think that that's the thing that I have the hardest with in romance. I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody called Becca Syme.
And I haven't, no.
Yeah, she she works with writers. She's a writer. She's a cozy mystery author, but she works with writers and she does these Gallup Strengths Finder with writers, which is really kind of like the Myers-Briggs test, similar to that.
Okay.
And in taking that, I realized that my empathy is very, very low, which I'm not trying to say that I'm a sociopath, but I guess my point is, I don't think that that's inherently who I am. I think that that is after 30 years of being a journalist, you kind of like, you really have to have, you really have to do that. So writing emotion is really hard for me, but writing a puzzle of a mystery is not hard at all for me. So in some ways I've kind of discovered that mysteries are probably inherently more my thing. And it's kind of the direction I'm going in as I get older also for reasons about for, you know, there's other reasons why eventually I'll probably stop writing romance.
Okay. Even though you consider yourself a romance writer.
I do, but the reality is that I am 50 and my experiences with romance and meeting men were from a very different era than
this
most people
true,
are experiencing.
Yeah. Especially if you're aiming for a more younger audience.
Right. My audience generally on Wattpad is younger. And I, you know, a lot of young women today don't know what it's like to sit at a bar and have a man send you a drink and look you in the eyes and flirt with you in person. It's not how it's done these days. So it's hard to get that across, you know? My experience is I've never internet dated, you know?
Right. So, so how are you enjoying Wattpad? I know you said that you liked it, but you really like it? You like the serialized?
I do. I do. I love the audience. I love the feedback. I love the readers. I love how young they are and how energetic they are and how passionate they are about the stories. I adore it. I read their comments on my books and I love every one of them. Like,
that's amazing.
I have 10 books in the paid program. So I have some free books there and I have books in the paid program. So people get very passionate about the stories. So it's fun. It's really a lot of fun. Oh, and I have to mention this too. I have a 3-book deal with Wattpad. That's also
awesome.
Like kind of what's going on. They are actually printing because they're branching out into publishing. And so they start.
I had no idea.
Yeah. They've published mostly YA titles so far. Mm-hmm. And then in 2022, the first crop of adult titles will be published. And one of my books is among them. It's called Drive.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm really excited. So, that will be out in March of 2022. And then 2 other books in that series will be out in 23 and 24. So.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't know they were going into the actual publishing, like the physical publishing part of it.
It's really remarkable. So I'm excited.
Yeah. I wonder how their business model is going to change after that. I'm sorry. Brain wanders thinking about books and all that good stuff. So how much time are you spending every day writing?
I would say that I spend about 2 to 3 hours a day writing.
Okay.
And then, you know,
that's
I'm
pretty
doing
decent.
Yeah. And then I do, you know, because of this Wattpad situation, I'm actually editing books that had been on the platform that are on the platform and I'm expanding them for the print offering. Mm-hmm. So I spend time writing and then I spend time editing books that are finished. Like this one book that's finished for 2023 now. Mm-hmm. I was doing the 2022 book earlier. So, and then at some point I'll write a 3rd book for them. But so I kind of spend my time doing the copy editing job, writing, and then editing the Wattpad book.
Okay. So your day is filled with writing, it sounds like.
Yeah. Writing or editing. Mm-hmm. You know, or thinking, but I wouldn't say I'm not working as much as when I was a reporter. Mm-hmm. So I'm not reporting in the hours. I will say that probably tonight I'll probably try to write like another 500 words.
Okay.
Just cause I'm feeling it. And then the
you got to grab that feeling while it's there.
Yeah.
If you want to write, you better write.
Yeah. I'm not somebody who has a problem with writer's block. So
that's nice. Sometimes I find myself struggling with writer's block and then just like, sometimes the dangerous part is it just sits there and you never want that to happen.
Right. Right. I think that being a journalist gave me a certain, I don't want to say it's discipline because that's not it. I think that the fact that I wrote journalism for money is ingrained in me and that and this is my job now. And to me, it's sort of like, if I don't do it, I won't get paid.
Okay.
And so there's, that's very much a motivator. So I'm not saying I'm doing this for the money, but I am motivated to meet my deadlines and my obligations because
it's your job.
It's my job, you know?
And it must be nice coming from that journalism background where you were writing all the time. It's kind of like you almost already have a built-in writing habit. I know that's something that new authors, you know, they struggle with because they're like, they're trying to manage their day job and then their hobby. And then sometimes, you know, the day gets away from you. You're like, oh, I didn't write today. But writing was your day job for a while. So you must have that little bit of, I don't know, that kick in the butt sometimes that that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, you know, there was a point where I wasn't sure. There was a point where I knew I wanted to leave journalism, but I wasn't sure if I should take the plunge and be a full-time writer. But then I realized that I didn't really know how to do much else. Like, there's not a lot of demand for a 50-year-old female writer who's only been a journalist. I mean, I've never done anything in my life but be a journalist since I was 20. So I've never held any other job. So I'm not qualified to do anything else. So
Except write.
So this is
I'm glad you're doing so good at it. Then. You're so well at it. So good at it. Listen to me. I'm a writer and I said the word good like that.
I believe in being conversational.
So what made you why coffee?
Why coffee? Well, because I was sitting in a coffee shop in Quebec City thinking about a cozy mystery. And I just thought, what if I set it in a coffee shop? That you know, the setting, like I said, the setting of cozy mysteries are really important. And also a lot of cozy mysteries are around a theme. So sometimes it's crafts, you know, like knitting or quilting. Sometimes it's food, like baking, cupcakes, Italian food. And sometimes it's tea or coffee or, you know, dog grooming. Usually there is a setting that forces the amateur sleuth to be around a lot of people and hear a lot of gossip. So it made sense. So a coffee shop made sense to me.
I can see this now that you've explained it. Yes.
And I also spend a lot of time in them. So, and wouldn't you really want, like in a perfect world, wouldn't you want to like go to a Florida beach community and stumble upon a really cool coffee shop? That
yes, absolutely. I can 100% say, yes, I would find that.
Right. And the idea that it would have like cool cold brew drinks and it was like a block from the beach, like that's like the perfect setup of the entire world. So I want, like, I think that that's something, like, I know what my readers say, I would love to visit there and just hang out with a book. And that's like the best compliment, because you want people to read and think, oh, this is a place I could just relax and kick back.
That does. That sounds amazing. Like that is almost the ultimate compliment, is that the reader wants to live in the world you made. Like,
exactly.
That's pretty close to like the ultimate thing a reader could say to you, is that I love it so much, I want to live there.
Exactly.
So what's your favorite thing about writing? Like, what's your favorite part? What makes you sing?
That I can control the world and make everything end well. Oh, I can say more about it. I mean, it's, you know, it's why I started writing romance. I mean, it's why I started writing fiction. You know, I wrote things in my day job that were so horrible. And really, when you're a journalist, very few things end happily. Like, that's the reality, you know?
Right.
Like, things
end it's real life.
Terribly. Right.
That's why people read books, is they escape real life.
Right. I mean, not only, you know, and it's not just that things, like, when I started writing, it was around 2014, 2015. And so not only did things end terribly, but as the years went on, things not only ended terribly, but they ended without a sense of justice. And I think that that's the biggest thing for me with cozy mysteries, is that not only does every book end with a happy ever after for the couple, but it ends with a sense of justice to the person who perpetrated a crime. And let's be honest, we're kind of in short supply of that in our modern world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's a really nice feeling to be able to have
wrap
that
things
in
up.
A story. Yes.
How do you feel that, like, how do you keep you're a writer full time now, so you have to keep your brain like in writer mode pretty much, I'd say, almost, I would think, almost all the time. Like if you're not writing about it, you're probably thinking about it. How do you keep the creativity going? Like, what do you have, any jump starts that you have to use if you ever dry up?
Well, I don't watch a lot of news anymore, really. Okay. Any. I don't read a lot of news anymore, because I find that can really derail me. I walk a lot and get out in nature. Actually, I try to clear my head a lot. I at least, you know, if not every day, every other day, but I try to get out and clear my head. I also do a fair bit of yoga.
That is so nice to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I try to actually clear my head in doing yoga. Sometimes it's about not thinking, as opposed to, and I'm sort of experimenting with something. I'm trying to take an entire Sunday off, actually, and not do any work. And I think that
sounds
that,
like, wonderful. I wish I had that in my life.
Yeah. It, like, yesterday, so as we tape this, it is a Monday, and yesterday was a Sunday. And I actually went out and walked around in a new part of my county and met my friend for Indian food. And we sat there and talked. And then I went leisurely shopping at Whole Foods. And then I came home and made a dessert. So I didn't do any writing yesterday. I just sort of lived my life. And for me, I know that probably for most people, that sounds like, well, duh, of course you're living your life. But as a journalist, you know, you're kind of always on call, especially in the position I was in. And you're sort of always plugged into the media and to social media. And it's like, and plus then on top of that, I was a writer. So I never had any time off, really, unless I actually took a vacation.
I can understand that. I've got two small kids. I don't have any time off.
Exactly. So it's really, it's nice to just take time. And so I felt really refreshed just by doing those things. Plus, you know, obviously the pandemic, being out seems like a really novel thing now.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely treasure, like I said, the readers know I have two very small children, 4 and 5. And I've actually gotten, I was in the habit of waking up like 5:30 and just taking an hour to myself and going for a walk. That's what I did.
Nice.
I literally had to get out of the house and away from all the responsibilities and just to have that time just by yourself, because you don't find it anywhere else. And then as someone who's also writing on the side of the sudden full-time podcast gig, it's like, you just kind of, you need, I don't know about you, but my brain just needs that time to recharge by itself. Yes. Because I am not an extrovert. I recharge by having my alone time.
Yes, definitely. I totally identify with that. I also find that if I do yoga before I go to bed for a half hour, I find that I sleep better and that I go to bed without thoughts. That I go to bed without worries. So that's like my optimal. I would love to be able to get up at 5:30, and hopefully that is sort of the next frontier that I'm going to conquer, is getting up early. But that is not my default. I'm a night person. Like, I'm just getting going now. So
I'm a morning person, but I'm not usually that kind of a morning person. Mm. And I say I used to do that because school started recently, and that has completely thrown off my schedule.
Yeah.
I haven't had a myself walk since school started, which I need to get back to and work out whatever schedule that is. But yes, time by yourself in the morning. I mean, don't get me wrong, it is hard as hell to drag my ass out of bed to go for a walk. But I just think about it as like, you need this. You need to get out and do this.
Yes, it's really important.
Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm currently dragging myself out of bed to wake the kids up. So that's not, that's less enjoyable. how do the people in your life, how do they support you as a writer, as a creator? How are they supportive of you?
Oh, well, my husband, he, and this started long before I became a fiction writer. He does everything but cook. So he does all the cleaning.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah. My husband, he does all the cleaning, basically. I don't clean.
Wow.
So that's basically it. So
I love my husband, but that's amazing.
He is really, I mean, he's like a fix it sort of person too. So okay. He handles like all of the maintenance of the cars and the house and everything. He's very handy. So, but yeah, he cooks, he cleans, he likes to cook. I cook everything because we've been doing vegan. So I like to cook. Cooking is kind of my hobby. So generally I tend to cook the food. Sometimes he'll cook. My husband is from Italy, so he does love to cook and he loves to eat, but he loves to eat vegan food. So we both do that. And, just as long as we have pasta once or twice a week, he's fine. And, but he takes care of, like, he does like, you know, the dog walks in the morning and stuff like that. So he's very supportive. I mean, he has, even before when I was only a journalist, and wasn't writing, everything was, he basically supported that part of our life and kept the home front
going very smoothly.
Yes, that is what he does. So I'm very, very fortunate in that he does that. I could not do this without him. And he really has kept things. He keeps everything on a very tight schedule. He provides the structure for me because I am not somebody who inherently gravitates to a structure, but he gives me that structure and it's extremely helpful for the person that I am.
That's amazing. Yeah. You have a wonderful husband, it sounds like.
I do have a wonderful husband, really wonderful.
So why are you using two different names? Like, I know they're both like Tara Lush and Tamara Lush, but why the separation? Why don't keep it all under one name?
You know, I kind of wanted to keep it all under one name, but then my mystery publisher said, we think you should use a pen name, in part because the Cozy Mystery People would go to my Amazon page and see that I had written all sorts of, you know, bonkers erotic romance. And they might be turned off and might not buy my book.
So I didn't realize it would be that much of a turnoff for cozy mystery readers.
It might be. I think that some cozy mystery readers think that romance writers get into the genre, and especially, I think especially if the romance writer was an indie romance author, I think there's a wariness that perhaps that romance author is kind of, is going to put a lot of romance or maybe even sex into the cozy mystery, which I'm not. But I think it's also important for the Amazon and other platform algorithms, because if it was under my name, then we would have other, you know, there would be other authors in the also bots that would be complete romance, and then there would be cozy mystery and everything would be all jumbled. So I think it's better to have two separate brands. As much as I, you know, I hesitated because of the social media part. Like, I don't have a Twitter account for Tara.
I do. I have kind of combined it all under one.
Yeah, I have a pretty big Twitter account, so under my real name. So I just kind of keep it at that. For Instagram, I do have two. I have Lush_books for Tamara Lush and you know, and the romance side and the I promote the cozy mystery there, but the cozy mystery author Tara Lush on Instagram, that is all cozy mystery. I don't promote my romance books there. There's a real separation there.
Okay. So were they right? Do you see that? I mean, I know you said that your romance people will go over and read your cozy mysteries and your cozy mysteries people won't read your romance, but do you think in the end that was the best decision?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I guess since I don't read the genre, I guess I just didn't realize that I don't know, they were so niche, like they wouldn't go out and like they would be put off.
Very different genre. I think that the people seeking cozy mysteries are seeking something entirely different from people reading, especially steamy contemporary mysteries. It's very different readership. And even some of my contemporary romance readers, you know, they're not that into a story that doesn't have sex. You know, they want that sexual tension. And I get that. Like, I love reading really steamy mysteries. So, or really steamy romance, rather. So I get it. Sometimes it's not necessarily a particularly compatible genre.
Okay. What do you think they're looking for in a cozy mystery? Like, why? You said they're not looking for the romance. What do you think they are looking for?
I think they're looking for the warmth and camaraderie of a group of friends or a group of people who are coming mm-hmm. together to solve crime. I think they love the puzzle of crime solving.
Okay.
I think that's number one. And I think that they're also interested in a group of quirky characters who are solving that crime. Mm-hmm. I think that those are the two things. I think some people do like the romance, but they don't want it to be, they don't want it to overshadow the crime solving, the puzzle solving. Mm-hmm. And I do think people love that setting of a place that they would love to visit. Like a lot of cozy mysteries are set in, some are set in, you know, English villages, some are set in New England coastal communities. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of places that are, you know, places that you'd like to visit. And so I think that people do some, you know, mental travel when they read cozy mysteries. Not that they don't during romance, but that's not the
right.
reason people read romance.
But with right, cozy that's not why they're there, yeah.
Right. But with cozy mysteries, it's like a setting and a group of people and, you know, sort of a world that if you dropped into that world, would you be able to solve the mysteries with the mystery with this group of interesting people?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that really resonates with them, as opposed to romance, where you want the rush of that emotion of falling in love. Those are very different things. Mm-hmm.
I can see that now. Like, yeah, like I don't have, like I said, I don't have much experience with mysteries, but like my mom loves it. So growing up, we watched a lot of like Murder, She Wrote, like that kind of thing. And I can, now that you're saying the words, my mind's kind of going back, and I can see that, like, part of the appeal of using the Murder, She Wrote example, because that's, I'm stupid and that's the only real example I have.
Oh, it's a great example.
Yeah. It's the one I'm the most familiar with. But yeah, I can see, as you're saying the words, I'm thinking back, it's like, yeah, I can see that, that close-knit community. And that for me as a, I don't know, 10-year-old, that's what I liked more than actually her going around solving the mysteries. Mm-hmm. I liked the people in her life who did weird things.
Right.
And were also happened to be there. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And people, I think cozy readers really, you know, they come to make friends with the people in the series. That's why some cozy mystery series are really long. Like they're, you mm-hmm. know, one of my favorite cozy series is like 20 or 25 books long. And people,
oh my
really,
goodness.
Yeah, they really love the sleuth and they really get into the sleuth's life. And so they want to know more about their friends and their family. And over time, you know, like in this one series that I love, over time, that person, you know, gets divorced and then they meet somebody and that person isn't their love interest. And then there's somebody else. And, you know,
okay.
their lives evolve over the course of the series. And I think that people, that's something that I love, you know,
that's kind of amazing. Yeah. I can see why someone would really be drawn to that. Like
right.
you're solving a mystery. There's a dead body, but also just this very long arc of just being mm-hmm. drawn into somebody else's life in a setting that you want to go visit.
Right.
I can totally see that.
Yeah. It's been interesting writing that because obviously the arc, part of the arc for my heroine in my mm-hmm. cozy is that, you know, she shows up at her, you know, in her hometown after being in Miami and she's divorced and she's 30 and she doesn't know if she wants to take a chance on love. And then she, mm-hmm. you know, starts this relationship with the police chief, but it's a really slow burn. And, you know, obviously in romance, I'm like, oh my God, they need to kiss. Like, why can't there
right.
be groping in the police car? Like, you know, like what about some sexy times over there on the beach? But no, that is not, you know, that's not part of the genre. So, you know, they're taking it pretty slow. Like by book three, they haven't even said they love each other yet, you know? So, which is completely foreign to me as a romance writer, but I'm thinking about working up to it. Like, I think maybe in book three they will. I don't know.
How long do you want this series to be? In your mental arc of how
you'd
like it to end
up. You know, in my, so, you know, it's up to my publisher. I would love
right.
for this to be at least 5 books. There is an overall, there's another mystery throughout that is in the subtext, or it's not the subtext, it's just
Ooh.
It's almost like a C plot in the
that's
books.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and so it's basically the motivation for why the heroine became a reporter is because when she was in high school, her very best friend went missing and was never found on this mm-hmm. little tiny island, and no one ever knew if she was kidnapped or taken off island. Her body was never found, and
uh-huh.
so her parents at the time got her an internship at the local newspaper. And that's what got her into journalism. And that's also what got her into crime reporting. And so in every book, that missing, her missing friend is sort of mentioned, like she has memories now that she's back of her missing friend. So I would like the last book for that
to be that, that mystery.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing. That sounds like a really, I'm sure other people have done it, but that sounds like a really nice way to lay out a series like that. Just like the seed of a building story that you might actually be like the main plot of all these books or something like that.
Right. And she's had to grapple with, you know, sort of feelings of how she has a hard time getting close to other people and making friends and her guilt over the last time she saw her friend. Like, those are all things that are addressed in each book. So
it all ties in together.
Yeah, it does. It does.
That's nice.
It's been really
nice
fun
plotting work.
Thanks. It took a little mental at the beginning, but I'm very happy with it. So
as a writer, I can definitely appreciate that. Actually, that's
Thank
the thing
you.
My husband and I will be watching a movie and I don't care about the movie. I'm like, that's a really good plot point. I like how they did that. Like, that's what I concentrate on.
Exactly.
He's like, just be quiet. I'm trying to watch the movie. Sorry, my mind's going down this road now of like, then at the end of the movie, I'm like, wait, they didn't tie up this point.
Right.
What happened to that person?
I'm the same way. And it's funny because when I watch movies and TV, I actually really, I don't like either, like, of my genre that I write, mystery and romance, I don't like to watch either.
Oh, really? What do you like to watch?
I actually prefer really, really gritty and violent dramas.
Okay. well, I can actually kind of see how that all kind of fits together a little bit.
It does. Like, I probably someday I'm just going to end up writing a noir mystery, but it's not, I don't have the darkness in me at the moment. I really love, like, very gritty mafia dramas out of Italy.
Nice.
Yeah.
My husband's watching one right now on HBO, and I don't remember the
name of
it.
What's it called? Gamora?
Yes, that's what it is. He's obsessed with it. He's watching it.
It is so good. It is like my favorite, probably like one of my top three favorite TV shows.
I'm going to have to tell him that. Yeah.
It is amazing.
I think he just watched the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Le Mortale.
Yeah, like, I just... And that's amazing that I now know two people who watch this.
Because it's the best of the best. Like, there is not one redeeming character in any of it. Like, I've never seen a TV show that is that bleak in terms of characterization.
Now, see, I can't do that. I can't watch or read, for that matter, anything where I can't attach to one character. Like, I need a redeeming character, at least, and like something, and at least someone that I can root for. Like, if they're all terrible people, I'm just like, I can't deal with this.
Well, that's the fascinating thing about Gamora is that, well, A, Gamora was originally written as a nonfiction book by a journalist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
He actually wrote a nonfiction book called Gamora. That's a wonderful book that, like, really talks about the Camorra, the mafia in Naples.
Okay.
And it's amazing. Actually, my first romance was based on a character like that reporter, actually. He was what inspired me to write that first romance novel.
Mm-hmm.
But then after he wrote that, there was a movie called Gamora, and then there was a TV show. So they're all very different, but it all is about the Gamora in Naples. My husband is from near Naples, so whenever we go to Italy, I'm like, can we go to Naples and see Second Iliado? I'm like,
he's probably like, no.
Oh yeah, he is.
That's insane. Why would we do that?
Yeah. But I'm super into it. I love, that is such a good show.
That's amazing. I love that I now know two people who like it. I'm sure there's plenty more people. I just don't happen to know them.
Yeah.
All right. And we are nearing our hour mark. So tell me, what is your writing excuse? Why are you not writing today?
Oh, my writing excuse is that I had an idea. Hold on.
I warn everybody ahead of the podcast, and it always throws everyone off.
It does. I can imagine how it does. My writing excuse is that I've got other stuff to do, which is really stupid because I'm doing this full time. So I really don't have anything else to do. Like, this is my whole goal, you know?
Right.
So I'll just say like, oh, well, I'm going to do marketing, or I'm going to do some, you know, I'm going to do my financial wrap up for the month or something. And when I start,
I want to ask you like 10,000 more questions now, something about marketing and your finances.
Go ahead. I mean, but the thing is, it's like, I think that when I get in that mode where I really, really sort of resist and I start making excuses, I think that I've come to realize that is my signal to say, like, you need a day off and you need a little break. Mm-hmm. I kind of try to lean into it. Like I did yesterday. Yesterday I was like,
is that where your Sunday idea came from?
Yeah, Sundays off. Yeah. Because I there was a point, because I have a deadline for this book. And so I was like, there was a point where I was like, okay, I'm going to write 3,000 words a day for 10 days straight, you know, or like you always get to that point where it's like, well, if I just push for 5 days and write 5,000 words a day, but realistically it's like, it'll get done when it gets done. It'll get done before the deadline. Like, I have confidence in myself that I'll meet my deadline. And I should lean into at least one day of having a break, a mental break, because it's important. Like, we should not be pushing ourselves. I don't know. Like, I have pushed myself to the point where I've ended up in the hospital. So I'm a firm believer in taking time and not pushing yourself.
Okay. That's a good writing excuse. Don't go to the hospital for stress of writing your book.
Exactly.
So join me next Wednesday when I'm talking to Beth Lee as she and I review the classic Frankenstein. A little late for Halloween, but it's still fun. Until then, keep reading, keep writing, and go do what you do best. You got this. Read and Write Podcast is edited and produced by Deborah Z. Barth. Theme music was written and performed by Jay Hunger. Audio effects were created by Red Octopus and Black River Phonogram. Show notes and previous episodes can be found at readandwritepodcast.com. Special thanks to Tamara Lush and all the subscribers who make this podcast possible. And that's it. Thank you for listening to the show. If you like what you're hearing, make sure to rate Read and Write on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you have a suggestion for a future episode, drop me a line. I'm always open to suggestions. Also, did you know that Read and Write publishes 3 episodes a week? Check out the podcast's YouTube channel for Write With Me Mondays live streams and 30-second book reviews on Fridays.